Humble Hero, Chapter 83, The Walk to Emmaus. Late in the afternoon, on the day of the resurrection, two disciples were on their way to Emmaus, a little town 8 miles from Jerusalem. These disciples had come to keep the Passover and were greatly perplexed by the events that had taken place. They had heard the news about the removal of Christ's body and also the report of the woman who had seen the angels and had met Jesus. Now returning home, they were talking over the scenes of the trial and crucifixion. Never had they been so completely discouraged. On their journey, they were joined by a stranger, but they were so absorbed in their gloom, they did not observe him closely. They continued expressing the thoughts of their hearts, discussing the lessons Christ had given, which they seemed unable to comprehend. Jesus longed to comfort them. He understood the conflicting, perplexing ideas that brought to their minds the thought, "Can this man, who allowed himself to be so humiliated, be the Christ?" They wept. Jesus longed to wipe away their tears and fill them with joy and gladness, but he must first give them lessons they would never forget. He said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with another as you walk and are sad?" And the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" They told him of their disappointment in regard to their master, "who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. But the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him." With quivering lips they added, "We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened." Strange that they did not remember Christ's words, that he had foretold them that he would rise again the third day. The priests and rulers did not forget. Jesus, unrecognized, explains the scriptures. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in his glory?" Who could this be? To speak with such earnest and sympathy, for the first time, they began to feel hopeful. Often they looked earnestly at their companion and thought that his words were just the words that Christ would have spoken. Beginning at Moses, the start of Bible history, Christ explained the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. If he had made himself known to them first, they would have hungered for nothing more. But it was necessary for them to understand the symbols and prophecies of the Old Testament. Their faith must be established on these. Christ performed no miracle to convince them. It was his first work to explain the scriptures. He showed from the prophets that his death was the strongest evidence for their faith. Jesus showed the importance of the Old Testament as a witness to his mission. The Old Testament reveals the Savior as clearly as the New. Light from the prophetic past brings out the life of Christ and the teachings of the New Testament with clearness and beauty. Comparing the prophecies of the Old Testament with the history of the New gives even stronger proof than the miracles of Christ. The disciples had expected a Messiah who would take his throne and kingly power in the manner that people wanted. But this had been misleading. His disciples must understand about the cup of suffering that had been given to him. He showed them that the awful conflict was the fulfillment of the covenant made before the foundation of the world. Christ must die, as every transgressor of the law must die if he continues in sin. All this was to happen, but it would not end in defeat, but in glorious victory. Jesus told them that they must make every effort to save the world from sin. His followers must live as he lived and work as he worked, with persistent effort. Christ talked in this way to his disciples to help them understand the scriptures. As he told them of the overthrow of Jerusalem, they wept as they looked on the doomed city. But little did they suspect yet who their traveling companion was, for Christ referred to himself as though he were another person. He walked as carefully as they did over the rough stones, stopping with them now and then for a little rest. Their hearts were drawn to the stranger. During their journey, the sun had gone down, and the laborers in the fields had left their work. As the disciples were about to enter their home, the stranger appeared as though he was going to continue his journey. But the disciples hungered to hear more from him. "Abide with us," they urged. He did not accept the invitation immediately, but they pressed him. "It is toward evening, and the day is far spent." Christ yielded to this request and went in to stay with them. If the disciples had failed to press their invitation, they would not have known that their traveling companion was the risen Lord. Christ never forces his company on anyone. He will gladly enter the humblest home, but if its residents are too indifferent to ask him to stay with them, he passes by. The disciples had soon prepared the simple evening meal and placed it before the guest, who had taken his seat at the head of the table. Now he stretched out his hands to bless the food in exactly the same way as their master used to. The disciples sat bolt upright in astonishment. They looked again and saw the print of nails in his hands. Both of them exclaimed, "It is the Lord Jesus!" They got up to throw themselves at his feet, but he had vanished. They looked at the place occupied by one whose body had so recently lain in the grave, and they said to each other, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" With this great news to communicate, their weariness and hunger were gone. They left their meal uneaten and hurried back on the same path with which they had come to tell the disciples in the city. They climbed over steep places, slipping on smooth rocks, wanting to go faster than they dared. They lost their way, but found it again. Sometimes running, sometimes stumbling, they hurried on, their unseen companion beside them all the way. The night was dark, but the Sun of Righteousness was shining upon them. They seemed to be in a new world. "Christ is risen." Over and over they repeated it. They must tell the sorrowing ones the wonderful story of the walk to Emmaus. They must tell who joined them along the way. They carried the greatest message ever given, glad news on which the hopes of the human family depend for time and eternity.